This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ما بعد. So as always, we begin, what do we begin everything with? What's every time we start an Islamic lecture or a speech or a class? We always begin with a few things. We begin with three things. What's the three things we always start with? Okay, so we begin with Alhamdulillah. We praise Allah. We begin with the praise of Allah. What else? We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we say sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And sometimes when we're writing, especially, we might write with Bismillah. So we have Bismillah, and we have Alhamdulillah, and we have about our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's how we start when we start our class, when we start something important. So we came back again to the kids' class, alhamdulillah. We changed the date or the day and the time. So now we are doing it on a Sunday, and we are doing it after Asr time here in Gateshead, which is 6:30 p.m. UK time. Why I'm saying UK time is we could have some people watching who are watching from different countries, and they will have to convert the time for themselves. But for us here in the UK, 6:30 UK time, after Asr, where we are in Gateshead, on a Sunday. As for the other classes, inshallah, we'll be starting Tafsir on a Friday, and that will be after Maghrib UK time, which is going to be somewhere around the region of 10 o'clock, so it's pretty late. But the kids' class, nice and early, inshallah, we're going to take about 45 minutes to an hour, there or thereabouts, inshallah. And today we don't have a particular topic which is like a series to start, but just a general discussion. Because I wanted to ask if anyone knows what the date is today. Do you know what the date is today? It's not a difficult question. What's the date today? Today is the 11th of the months that we don't care about. What's the date today? It's the 11th of July. Okay, it's the 11th of July. What's the date today? It's the 11th of July. Well done, mashallah. What's the date today? It's the 11th of July. Still, we're not getting it. 2021.
Tell me how to write it.
You can tell me how to write it, but it's not the date I'm looking for. What's the date today? Yusuf, what's the date today? Okay. I actually asked you a bit of a trick question because I wasn't very clear in my question, but I did it to show you something. Whenever you think of the date, what do you think of? You straight away think of the months that we have in England, the Gregorian calendar. You think of January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. Did I miss one? No. That's what you think about. But those dates are not important to Allah. Which dates are the dates which are important to Allah? إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم. The dates that matter are the Islamic dates. Now, I don't know if any of you will be able to tell what the Islamic months are without looking at the Islamic months that are written on the wall over there, which is why I turned it over. Do you know the Islamic months? Okay, who can read me the Islamic months from the wall? Go on. You can go all the way up to it if you want. Start the other side. That's the English, that's the wrong side. That's English language side. Start the Arabic language side, is that side.
This side.
Yeah. Okay. Muharram, very good. What's the next one? Safar. Okay, very good. That's a hard one. Try. Rabi'ul Awwal, very good. Rabi'ul Akhir, very good. Rabi'ul Akhir. Some people call it Rabi'ul Thani, but it's not correct. The correct name for it is Rabi'ul Akhir. Okay, it's difficult. Jumad al Ula. Jumad al Akhira. Okay, this one's easy. Rajab. Okay, next. Sha'ban. Ramadan. Okay. Shawwal. Okay. Dhul Qa'dah. Okay, Dhul Qa'dah. Okay, and the last one is? What's the last? Dhul Hijjah. Come back, guys. Well done. Great job. Dhul Hijjah. Now, I'm going to start that question again. What's the date today? Islamic calendar. Islamic calendar. The date, tarikh al-yom, come. Today, Friday, yeah. MashaAllah. Today, girls on this side, please. Today is the first day of the month of Dhul Hijjah. Today is the first day of the last month of the year. Should we try that again? It's the first day of the last month of the year. Not December, Dhul Hijjah. The first day of Dhul Hijjah. And does anyone know what is special about Dhul Hijjah? You can answer as you like. You don't have to answer my answer. What do you know that's special? What happens in Dhul Hijjah? What's the most famous thing that happens in Dhul Hijjah? Please don't say that England play Italy in the final of something football. Very good. Allah frees more people from the hellfire. Amazing. You paid attention in my khutbah. Allah bless you. But what happens in Dhul Hijjah? That's most the big event that everyone is going to be interested in. Eid. Oh my days. Yes, Eid. Apart from Eid, Eid happens at the end of Arafah. And Arafah is in which thing? Hajj. Dhul Hijjah. Hajj. Hajj takes place in this month. Now, I know because of COVID, there is, you know, the Hajj is very limited. But right now, there will be people who are getting ready to go to Hajj. What do you know about Hajj? Anything, what you know about Hajj? Okay, Hajj takes around 7 days. Let's count it. It starts on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, which is Yawm al-Tarwiyah, the day when you prepare you bring the water. And then the 9th of Dhul Hijjah is the day of Arafah. And the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah is the day of Eid, yeah, or sacrifice. Then you have, that was how many days? 3. Then you have 11, 12, and 13. So that's 6 days. You were close when you said 7 days. 6 days. 6 days. From the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah. So what do you know about the Hajj? Anyone seen pictures of the Hajj? What do you know about Hajj? أنت يا أبو عثمان حجيت ما شاء الله. Okay. You go 7 times around the Kaaba. Okay, that's called Tawaf. So Tawaf is a part of Hajj and Umrah as well. What's the difference between Hajj and Umrah? What's the difference between Hajj and Umrah? I want one difference we just spoke about now. Which month can you do Umrah in? Dhul Umrah, right? No? Any. So you can do Umrah in any of those months. In any of them. But you can only do Hajj in which month? Last one. Dhul Hijjah. You can only do Hajj in Dhul Hijjah. What's the other difference between Umrah and Hajj in size? Which one is big and which one is small? How long does Umrah take to do, generally? Give me a rough idea. How long to finish Umrah? From the time you walk into, you are in your hotel in Makkah, next to the Haram, until you come back to your hotel, how long? 3 days? You've done Umrah so many times. Umrah. What do you think? Who's going to make me a guess? We had 3 days. You're a bit too long. Umrah, how long? 1 day. Give me an idea. Who thinks differently? How long to make Umrah? Abab, how long to make Umrah? What do you think, Mu'ad? Kam yom? Sittat ayyam. 6 hours. Okay, good. Mu'adh is qareeb. 5, okay. So we're talking about a few hours. To be honest, I would say leave your hotel room, 3 hours, come back, Umrah done. Yeah? So Umrah is a few hours. How long is Hajj, did we say? 6 days, we said. Yeah. The 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th. Yeah, 6 days. So 6 days versus 3 hours. Okay, where does Umrah happen? Where is everything in Umrah happens in one place? Where? Where in Makkah?
The Kaaba.
Around the Kaaba, excellent. All of the Umrah happens around the area of the Kaaba, the Masjid al-Haram, as-Safa wal-Marwa. It's very close together, right? It's very nearby, it's very close together. It happens all in the same area. What about Hajj? On the 8th day, you start off in, usually, most likely you're in Makkah. By Dhuhr time, you're in Mina, which is out, which is inside of Makkah, but on the edge, far edge of Makkah. On the 9th day, you're in Arafah, which is outside of Makkah. Then you're in Muzdalifah, which is, again, on the border. Then again, you're back in Mina. Then again, you go to Makkah. Then again, you go to Mina. Then again, you stone the Jamarat. Then again, you go. So what's the difference? Hajj takes place in a big area. You are going from place to place, from, you know, one area to another area. Even just traveling from one to another could take the same time as Umrah. Could take 2 hours. To go from one place to another place might take you 2 hours. The whole Umrah might only take you 2 hours when it's quiet. So Hajj is much bigger. How many times in your life do you have to do Hajj?
6 days.
How many times in your life? How many times? Like, for example, do you have to do every 10 years, every 1 year, every, yani, I don't know, like once when you're a child, once when you're adult?
Once a year.
What? No, Hajj happens once a year, sah. Every year Hajj happens. You, Mu'adh, ant. How many times you have to make Hajj? in your life. Most people you know, do you know people go Hajj every year, every 2 years, 10 times, 20 times? How many, most people, how many times they go to Hajj? What do you think? How many times in your lifetime do you have to make Hajj? No, it doesn't depend. It's only one answer. Once. One single time. Okay, what about if you don't have enough money? You don't have to. So, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Allah commands the people to make Hajj, whoever is able to do it, only one time in your life.
Is it in the five pillars of Islam?
It's the fifth pillar of the five pillars of Islam, one time in your life. One time in your life. You have to make Hajj. If you have the money, you have to make Hajj one time. That's it, just one time. As for Umrah, you also have to make it one time. But you can make it with Hajj at the same time as Hajj. And most people do Umrah lots of times. Many people do Umrah lots of times. But Hajj is very difficult. What things have you seen people doing during the Hajj? What about the new people who joined the class just now? What things have you seen the people doing during the Hajj? Walking around the Kaaba, excellent. That's in Hajj and Umrah, both. Tawaf around the Kaaba. Touching the Kaaba, very good. So maybe touching the black stone or touching the Rukn, al-Yamani, the bare corner of the Kaaba. Very good. Going between Safa and Marwa. What are Safa and Marwa? Two mountains, small, two hills. And going between Safa and Marwa, like that. Going between the two. What else have you seen the people doing in Hajj? Because all you mention is Umrah. In Hajj, only in Hajj you see people doing. Walking a lot, okay. People pray all the time.
Praying around the Kaaba.
True, but that's it. Could be at Hajj, it could be Umrah, could even be people living in Makkah, right? Could be any, but it's true. But I'm talking about something you'll only see in Hajj. Throwing stones. Who are they throwing stones at? They're throwing stones at the pillars, the Jamarat. Okay, so that's one thing you'll only see in Hajj. What else will you only see in Hajj? So you only see in Hajj is people with little pebbles, seven pebbles, and they're throwing the pebbles at the big stone pillar. What else will you see at Hajj? I think we need to learn a bit about Hajj, don't you? I think we seem to be... We need to know a bit about Hajj. So let's talk a little bit about Hajj then, inshallah. That's going to be our welcome back topic because it's Dhul Hijjah. It's the first day of Dhul Hijjah. We're going to talk about the Hajj. Before we talk about the Hajj, one thing I want to share with you. These 10 days are the best 10 days of the whole year. Do you know that? Today, tomorrow, the next day, until Eid, it's the best 10 days of the year. 10 days until Eid. Ah, now mashallah, we got everyone realized, oh, it's 10 days until Eid. Today is the first of Dhul Hijjah. Eid is the 10th day of Dhul Hijjah. So Eid
happens on the 10th day.
The 10th day of this month, Dhul Hijjah. Today is the first, Monday will be the second, Tuesday will be the third, Wednesday will be the fourth, Friday the fifth, Saturday the 6th, Sunday the 7th, no, that didn't work out right. It comes Tuesday, trust me. Try it again. Sunday the 1st, Monday 2nd, Tuesday 3rd, Wednesday 4th, Thursday 5th, Friday 6th, Saturday 7th, Sunday 8th, Monday 9th, and Tuesday
10th.
Eid. Okay? All right. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ الْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ فِيهِنَّ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَيَّامِ الْعَشَرِ. There are no days which it's better to do good deeds than these 10 days. So you have to do what in these 10 days? What should you do in these 10 days? What kind of good deeds can you do in these 10 days?
Give food to the poor.
Give food to the poor. Okay, what else can you do in these 10 days?
Zakah.
If you have time for zakah, if it's the time for zakah, you can give zakah. Or sadaqah, generally.
What does zakah
mean? Like, we're going to talk about it properly in another class, but you can say it's when you give some of your money to poor people, which, yeah, exactly. That's what, when you have some money which is extra and you have saved it and you give it to some of the poor people, inshallah. Okay, what can you do on these in these 10 days?
Extra.
Extra, like extra sunnah, very good. What else can you do in these 10 days? Okay, wait, they're very good answer, but wait till that point, okay? Read the Quran more. Okay, very good. What else can we do?
You could pray to never forget Allah.
Very good, dua. You can ask Allah for things, like never to forget Allah, and you can pray and ask Allah for things that you want. Very good. You could also fast, especially which day? Not Eid, we never fast on Eid day. Which day is the best day to fast out of all these days? Arafah, the day of Arafah, which is the 9th day. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about it, but we're actually going to now go into a little bit about what the Hajj is. Because it's Dhul Hijjah, it's the month of Hajj, and the Hajj will help to explain to you a lot about what we are doing during the days of Dhul Hijjah. Okay, so first of all, how are we going to start? Where should a person start? Where are they going to start? Where do you start off? We start off right here, where we are right now, at home. I'm not quite at home, we're in the masjid, but
yeah.
Let's start at home. The person's made the intention to go to Hajj. What is Hajj? What does the word Hajj even mean in Arabic? What does the word Hajj mean? If someone asks you just to explain Hajj in a really simple, like one line, what would you explain it? Yes? No, not really, not like a prayer. Not like a prayer. Try a different answer. Hajj is to set out on a journey to something which is very important. Is to set out on a journey to something very important. So what journey are we setting out on? What journey are we setting out on? This is for the Hajj. We're going to set out on a journey from our house in England
to the Kaaba
in Mecca. And that's exactly what the Hajj is. It is a pilgrimage. You ever heard that word?
No.
Pilgrimage means to, that means what I said. You're going to travel to something very important. You're going to make this big journey, and I'm going to travel all the way to Mecca, to the Kaaba. And we said you could travel for two reasons. You could travel for Umrah or for Hajj, but for most people will do both at the same time. And Hajj is only in this month, only in Dhul Hijjah. So the person travels. They set out from their house and they're going to fly. We're going to forget about Corona, PCR tests and stuff like that. They're going to fly to the nearest airport, to Mecca, which is Jeddah. Okay? They're going to fly to Jeddah. So they get on the plane and they fly to Jeddah. And when they arrive, they're going to perform Umrah. So they're going to perform the small pilgrimage first. Let's just say they arrive tomorrow. Is it time for Hajj? Tomorrow, the 2nd? What day do we say Hajj starts on? The 8th. The 8th. The 1st is Dhul Hijjah, but Hajj itself starts on the 8th. So 2nd is too early. What will I do? I'm going to do Umrah. So I'm going to start with Umrah. So for Umrah, first of all, let's talk about what do you need to wear? What do you need to wear? Not a thawb. No, if you did a thawb, your Umrah wouldn't be right. For the boy, everyone needs to be in a state of ihram. What does the word ihram sound like? Go on, you can say it. It's good. Haram, excellent. Correct answer. And that's what it means. Some things are going to be haram that were not haram before. So when you start your ihram, the reason it's called ihram is it means making things haram. That's what it means. Ihram, making things haram. Because things are going to be haram that were not haram before. Yeah? So, for example, for the boys, wearing your normal clothes, you can't wear your normal clothes. You can't wear any clothes which are your stitched clothes. You can't wear thobe. You can't wear jeans and t-shirt. You can't wear jogging bottoms. You can't wear hoodie. You can't wear any stitched clothes. What do you have to wear instead? You have to wear two big towels, your ihram garments. You have to wear your ihram garments, which is two big sheets. One of them goes around your waist, one of them goes around your shoulders. Usually they're white, almost always white. And they look like two really big towels, you know, like what you have in the bathroom, like really, but really big, bigger than what you have in the bathroom, like really big. And you wrap one of them around your waist, and that's all you wear for the boys. They don't wear anything else. You wrap it around your waist. The other one, you wrap over your shoulder. Okay?
How will we go out though?
Like that. Like that. One of them is wrapped around your waist tight and tied, nice and tight. So it's not going to come down. It's tied very tight. It's not going to come down. And the other one is wrapped around your shoulders. That's for the boys. Okay, what about the girls? What are their ihram clothes? Anything which they want, as long as it is Islamically allowed to wear. So it's going to be your abaya and hijab and those things. The only difference in the girls' clothes, what's the only difference in the girls' clothes? What do the girls not wear that they might normally wear? Jeans. Not outside. They wear abaya, but what do they not wear? No. They can wear any clothes they want that's Islamically allowed. Abaya, any kind of abaya, any color, hijab, any color, any square one, triangle one, long one, whatever they want. But there's two things you will not see them wearing. Gloves and niqab. So they won't be covering their face and they won't be covering their hands. If they want to cover them, they can cover them with their sleeves. And they can cover their face with their hijab. They can take the long part from the hijab and cover it. But generally, they don't cover their face. They don't cover their hands in the ihram. Okay, why do you think, what is one of the reasons why you think that people might wear why Islam tells, why Allah tells us to wear the ihram garments, those white clothes, and you know, give me some reasons why you can think. Might be a difficult question. Shall I let you think about that? And then I'll come back to you on it when you hear the story of the Hajj. Maybe later on you'll know the answer to that question more. Okay? All right. What else are you not allowed to do in Hajj? You're not allowed to wear perfume. So you're not going to be putting perfume on. Before you start, you can put it on. But you can't put your perfume on after you've started that Hajj or that Umrah. We're talking about Umrah now. What else can you not do? You can't wear your normal shoes. What do you have to wear? What do you think? What goes with two towels? You're wrapped in two towels. What goes with it? Basketball shoes, huh? Nice pair of Jordans. What goes with two towels? Slippers. Slippers. Okay, good. Slippers, sandals. Exactly. Slippers, sandals. As for the ladies, they can wear any trainers, shoes, whatever they want. But for the men, you're gonna wear sandals. Yeah? Sandals. You're not gonna wear your trainers, you're not gonna wear your shoes, you're not gonna wear your socks. You're gonna wear your sandals. Okay. When you're in ihram, you're not allowed to cut your nails and you're not allowed to cut your hair. You're not allowed to cut your nails and you're not allowed to cut your hair. Anyone recognize anything about that? It's the same for the people who are slaughtering here. So whoever is planning to slaughter the animal on Eid day, the same thing. They also don't cut their hair and nails. Do they have to wear two white sheets and sandals? No, they don't. So the people who are staying home, they're not going to Hajj like us today. None of us are going to Hajj this time. So those people who are staying at home, they don't have to wear two sheets, and but they don't cut their nails and their hair, because if they're gonna sacrifice an animal on Eid day. Okay, good so far? All right. A few other things you're not allowed to do. Not allowed to get married. Not allowed to arrange a marriage. Some things like that. What other things we have that you're not allowed to do in ihram? Let's start the journey. So the person, the question is, when do you start this Umrah trip? You're on the plane. When do I wear my two sheets? Do I wear it from Gateshead? Do I wear it from my hotel in Makkah? When do I start? There's a special place. You're right. There's a special place. That place is called the Miqat. The Miqat. It's a special place. When you get to that place on your journey, you have to change your clothes for the boys. You have to put your two sheets on. You're not allowed to cut your hair and your nails anymore. You're not allowed to wear perfume anymore. And for the boys, you're not allowed to cover your head. Not allowed to cover your head. No hats, no baseball caps. No woolly hats, but it's hot there, so you probably wouldn't wear a woolly hat. No. Yeah? Okay? And you reach this special place. Where do you think it is? Do you think it's near to here, where we are now in England, or do you think it's near to Makkah?
Near Makkah.
What do you think? Near Makkah. Yeah, it's quite near Makkah. It's quite near Makkah. There's actually a few of them dotted around. There's not one. Every person comes from different direction, right? So whichever direction you come from, there's a special place for you. There's a miqat for you. All right? So you cross now that special place. Actually, it happens while you're on the plane. Just when the plane is landing in Jeddah, you're going to cross that place. And the pilot's going to announce on the plane. He's going to say, ladies and gentlemen, obviously probably going to say in Arabic, but maybe it's, I don't know. Might not be an Arabic-speaking pilot. It's going to say, ladies and gentlemen, we are about to pass the miqat. If you are going to make Hajj or Umrah, you need to get ready now. So what are you going to do? Boys, quickly get themselves ready. towel around the bottom, towel around the top, or sheet around the bottom, sheet around the top. Quickly put the perfume on because you can't put it on after that, right? So they're going to put the boys put the perfume on, and not on the towel, just on the hands. And then you're going to get ready to start the Umrah. For the girls, if they're wearing niqab, they're going to take the face covering off, take the gloves off. Yes, Mu'adh.
Would they do it in the plane or would they do it first?
Mostly they do it in the airport before they get on the plane. And then on the plane, they just finish off. Because it's in the plane, if 300 people all want to get changed at the same time, there'll be a long queue for the bathroom. Very long queue. So instead, what they do is usually they get ready in the house, and then when, or in the airport, and then when the plane is going, they just take maybe the t-shirt off and put the top towel on. The bottom towel is already on. And then they make intention and say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, that, oh Allah, I'm answering your call for Umrah. So I've got a question about this. What call? Who called you? Who called you and invited you to Umrah?
Allah.
Allah, you're right. But does anyone know the story of it? Allah said in Surah Al-Hajj, وَأَذِّن فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ to Ibrahim, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah said to him, make a call. Make a call. But what are you calling for? Call the people to come to Hajj. يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا they're going to come to you walking. وَعَلَى كُلِّ ضَامِرٍ and on every kind of riding animal, every kind, horses, camels, people going to come in cars, people going to come by plane. يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍ عَمِيقٍ they're going to come from every part, every gap in the mountains in Mecca, people are going to come. So what did Ibrahim do? He called out to the people to come to the Hajj. Who are you answering?
Allah.
You're still answering that call that Allah told Ibrahim to make. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ بِعُمْرَةٍ Oh Allah, I'm ready to answer your call to make Umrah. So now what are you doing in the plane? You're sitting the boys, you're wearing the two sheets, the two towels, yeah? You're not covering your head, you're not putting any more perfume on, you are not cutting your hair or your nails anymore, you're wearing your sandals, and you're gonna start. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ وَالنِّعْمَةَ لَكَ وَالْمُلْكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ Start like that. As much as you can. For the girls, you're going to say it so the person next to you can hear. But for the boys, you're going to say as loud as you can. As loud as you can. You're telling Allah, oh Allah, I'm answering that call. When you called me to come, I'm answering your call. You don't have any partner, because Allah doesn't have any partner, does He?
No.
Allah doesn't have any partner. All praise is for Allah. All the blessings come from Allah. Everything belongs to Allah. And Allah has no partner. And you keep on saying it again. لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ لَبَّيْكَ As loud as you can. Yeah? For the boys and for the girls, just so the person next to you can hear. And the plane lands. You get off the plane. You get into the airport, you're still going. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Still going. Yeah? Until you reach the passport counter, you get a passport. It's like, labbaik Allahumma labbaik. You get to the bus or the car, which is going to take you to Mecca. Are you allowed to stop off? You're allowed to stop off. Are you allowed to eat? You're allowed to eat. It's not Ramadan, you don't have to fast. Are you allowed to... Are you allowed to go to sleep?
Yeah.
But one condition. What's the condition for the boys? What can't you do when you go to sleep?
No,
but what can't you do when you go to sleep for the boys? You can take off your white thing, but you can't put your pajamas on. But you can take off your white towel, the top part. But there's one thing you can't do. Put perfume on, okay, but there's what you don't do that when you sleep normally. You normally go to sleep like this. Put perfume on? No, man. What are you going to do? Don't cover your head. Don't pull the blanket over your head because you're not allowed to cover your head. Okay? You no, boys you can. Girls you can also. Gloves you can't wear. She can't wear gloves, but she can put hands in the blanket. She just can't wear gloves. Because I said she can do like this, right? She can do like this, she can put blanket, but she can't wear gloves. You know the stitched gloves like that, where you have the finger holes. She can't wear gloves. Okay. Now you reach Makkah. Here you are in Makkah. You're wearing your white garments. You're ready for Umrah, not for Hajj. Why not for Hajj? It's too early. Hajj is on the 8th. It's too early. It's only the 1st today. And we said it's going to happen on the 2nd. You're ready for Umrah. What are you going to do? You definitely have to make wudu. At this point, you have to make wudu. Because the first part of Umrah, you need to have wudu for it. Going around the Kaaba, you need to have wudu.
Because you're close to the Kaaba?
Yeah, but when you're going around the Kaaba like that, you have to have wudu. So you're going to make wudu. You're going to go into the Masjid al-Haram, into the Masjid. You come inside of the Masjid, you're going to see the Kaaba, now you can stop your labbaik. You can stop labbaik, Allahumma labbaik, you can stop it, okay? After you've came to the Kaaba, now, who can tell me a little bit about the Kaaba? A little bit about how does it look, what does it... My microphone's getting stuck. Who can describe for me a little bit about the Kaaba? Okay.
Black.
It's black in color.
And white.
The black is the black color is a material that's draped over the top, so right? It's called a kiswa.
So it's
black and gold.
Black, gold, and a bit white.
It's white on the other side. Like when they lift it up, it's white. But the color of it is black and gold. It's a cover. It's a cover. What is the Kaaba? What is the Kaaba? The stone, you're right. I'm going to ask you about the stone later. What is the Kaaba? What is it? Give me a simple answer. Someone who says, it's a masjid. The Kaaba is a masjid, a mosque, right? You can go inside if they open the door and you can pray. And the nice thing about it, you can pray any which direction you like because you have to face the Kaaba and you're in the Kaaba.
Yeah.
Where's the only place you can't pray in the Kaaba? That's going to be a question for the quiz. When we do the quiz, boys against girls, what's the only place you can't pray in the Kaaba? I'll let you think about it for later. No, I'll let you think about it for later. Okay, there's one place you can't pray. But apart from that, you can pray all directions. Okay. The Kaaba is a masjid. Inside is a room where people pray, but usually it's closed. The Kaaba is the direction we face in when we pray. So here, the Kaaba, we know which way it is. It's exactly this way. We know that. It's exactly this way. We know because the carpet here is facing the Kaaba. So that's good. The Kaaba has different things on each side. So, I'm going to get it right. Yeah. I haven't seen you guys for so long. I'm going to mix up your names. Riyan, you told me about the stone, right? Do you know what that stone is called? It's called Al-Hajr Al-Aswad, the black stone. It's a stone in one corner. So where the two walls meet, where the bricks come together, in that corner, there is a silver plate. And inside of that silver plate, there is a stone. That stone, the story is that when Ibrahim was building the Kaaba, there was one space left. He needed one more stone, one more brick. So where did that brick come from? It came from Jannah. It came from Jannah. Allah sent it from Jannah and it was white. But all the time the people did so many bad things.
But when it went on earth,
it turned black. Very good. And who put that stone in? Ibrahim put that stone in. And then again, when the stone came out in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was the one who put that stone in again. Okay? From that stone, if you're walking along the Kaaba, like you're touching the wall and you're walking along, what's the next thing that you're going to come across on the Kaaba after the stone? It's going to be the door. Can you picture it? Stone is on the corner, right? The stone is on the
corner.
On the corner. The next thing you're going to pass, if your left shoulder is facing the Kaaba, if you're scraping the Kaaba with your left shoulder, you're going around with your left shoulder is touching, the first thing you're going to see is the door. Okay? The door. After the door, you're going to see just opposite, just near to the Kaaba, you're going to see a yellow, like a dome. Like, you know what a dome is? Like a, it's a bit taller than me. Yeah, like that, but not like that. It's like, a little bit taller than me. That is Maqam Ibrahim, Ibrahim's place, where Ibrahim stood. That's where Ibrahim stood. Like Ibrahim, where he stood to build the Kaaba. Okay? Then you have a wall. And this wall, it's not very big. It's actually only about, say, up to my shoulders, or maybe, I don't know, up to my chest or something. Height. That wall is half a circle. And inside of that wall, if you go through it, there's a gap. That's also inside the Kaaba. So if you can't get into the Kaaba through the door, you can also pray in the Kaaba inside of that little wall. Okay? Then if you go around again, you get another side, the end of the wall. Then you get an open space where there's no cover. There's no black cover on it. It's like a corner which is open. This is Rukn al-Yamani, the Yamani corner. And then you get the stone again, and then you get the door again, and then you get Ibrahim's place, and then you get the half circle wall, and then you get the Yemeni corner again, and then you get the Yemeni corner, and then you get the, and it goes like that. How do you go around the Kaaba? Which shoulder is facing the Kaaba?
Left
shoulder. Left shoulder is facing the Kaaba. Yep, the left shoulder is facing the Kaaba. Now for Umrah, for the boys, they're going to uncover their right shoulder when they come. They're going to take that towel, they're going to put it under their arm, and they're going to put it back like that. Okay? And for the boys, the first three times around, they're going to try to run if they can. Try to jog around if they can. Where do you start? You start before the door. At the stone. You start at the stone. And you start, Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, and you wave like that to the stone. Just raise your hand like that to the stone. Now you go around one time, Allahu Akbar. You get to the stone again. Two times, Allahu Akbar. Get to the stone again. Three times, Allahu Akbar. Get to the stone again. Four times, Allahu Akbar. Get to the stone again. Five times, Allahu Akbar. Six times, Allahu Akbar. Seven times, Allahu Akbar. And now you finish going around the Kaaba.
So you go around seven times.
Seven times. And each time you're going to wave towards the stone. If you can kiss the stone, that's very good. But it's very hard to kiss the stone. A lot of people. It's a lot of pushing. But if you can't kiss the stone, you just like that. Allahu Akbar. Not like you see some people like jumping up and down and like waving like this. No, just Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And they're going to go around. Like we said, for the boys, the first three times, try to jog. And your shoulder is uncovered. You're going around the seven times. What do you say when you go around? Is there anything special to say? Only Allahu Akbar when you get to the stone. And just to say any dua, anything, you're remembering Allah, you are asking Allah for Jannah, asking Allah to accept from you, but there's nothing you have to say. Read Quran, whatever you want. Are you allowed to talk to someone? Yeah, you're allowed to talk to someone if you have to, but try to keep it, you know, concentrating on what you're doing. When you reach the last part, just before the stone, on the last bit of the circle, you say, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. 7 times. Now you have to go and pray. Now that 7 times, you had to keep your wudu. If you broke your wudu, what do you have to do? Go make your wudu, go do 7 times again. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You finish your 7 times, now you're going to go pray 2 rak'at. Behind where? Behind where? Not behind the stone? Good, try.
The Kaaba.
Behind the Kaaba, okay. Which part, which area, which bit? You're going to pray. Maqam Ibrahim, Ibrahim's place, after the door. So behind there somewhere, these days it's very busy, you can't pray straight behind, but go a bit behind, a bit far back, and you pray 2 rak'at right there. You pray 2 rak'at there. Now once you've done that, you don't need wudu after that. After that, wudu is optional. So if you get to that point and you have your wudu, after that you don't need to worry. After that, you go to the mountain of Safa and Marwa.
How many times do you need to walk over?
Between the mountains, 7 times. You start at Safa, you make dua. After you finish your dua, you come down. And when you come down, you're going to see two, at the very bottom, you're going to see like 2 pairs of lights. Like 2 sets of lights. Like how these lights are. Yeah, one and then another one. And the boys, you have to run very fast between them. Fast as you can. Okay? Run fast as you can there until you get to the other light. Then you walk. When you walk, you're going to get to the other mountain. Go up on top. You make your special dua. You come back down again. When you get to the lights, what do you do for the boys?
Run.
Okay? Then again, you go up on the mountain again. Make dua. Come back down. So, Safa, Marwa, 1. Marwa, Safa, 2. Safa, Marwa, 3. Marwa, Safa, 4. Safa, Marwa, 5. Marwa, Safa, 6. Safa, Marwa, 7. So we finished on Marwa. Last time you do your special dua. I'm not going to tell you because it's too long, but you're going to do your long dua. And then you are ready to do the last thing of the Umrah.
What is it?
What do you think it is? You've done the Kaaba 7 times. You've done your 2 rak'ah behind Maqam Ibrahim. You've done Safa Marwa. What's the last thing of the Umrah? What do you think? What do you guys think? Rabi'atu al-Amaran, that we haven't heard from you. What do you think the last thing is? What do you think the last thing is? Cutting your hair or shaving your hair? So for the girls, you're going to cut like this much from your hair. Yeah. All the way around. For the boys, the best thing to do is shave your head with a blade. So it becomes like, it becomes back to the skin. No more than that. Like they use the small blade and it goes like, yeah. All the way up to your skin, if you can. But if you don't want to do that, you can also cut your hair. It's okay. You can just get a haircut. Once you've done that, you are out of ihram. So in all those things that were haram, like wearing your regular clothes, perfume, and your hair and your nails and all that stuff, all of it becomes fine. And you get to stay in Makkah and enjoy Makkah until which day? The 8th of Dhul Hijjah. And that's when the Hajj starts. Up to there, we're going to stop for this lesson. Next lesson, we're going to talk about what happens in the Hajj itself. So we talked about the Umrah. Who can give me a quick recap of the Umrah? Super quick. Just like one word. Ihram. Then Tawaf. Then Safa Marwa. Then we pray after the Tawaf, right? Pray, Safa Marwa. Then cut your hair. Then come out of Ihram. Done. That's why it only takes a few hours. Right? Yes, you can perform it in the rain. And when it rains there, it rains very heavy. Because it's a very dry place. But when it rains like someone is pouring water like that. Wallah, it's very, very heavy rain. No, you can face the storm. You have to find out, research. Anyone have any questions about what we talked about today? So recap for the girls who came late. We talked about Dhul Hijjah, the Islamic month. We said the months are Muharram, Safar, Rabi'ul Awwal, Rabi'ul Akhir, Jumad al-Ula, Jumad al-Akhirah, Rajab, Sha'ban. Then what comes after Sha'ban? Ramadan, okay. Shawwal, Dhul Qa'dah, Dhul Hijjah. The months are all written up there for you. Yeah. Starting from there, all the way to there. Okay? And we're in Dhul Hijjah, the best 10 days of the year. Do as many good deeds as you can. Today is the first. The 8th is when the Hajj starts. And what's the 10th? Eid. The 10th is?
Eid.
So we're going to learn more about Dhul Hijjah next. We're going to learn more about Dhul Hijjah in the next class and more about the Hajj next time. Any questions, guys? Are you all guys happy to be back?
Yeah.
Maybe? 50-50? Nus-nus? Yeah. Alhamdulillah. I'm happy to be back. So that's what Allah made easy for me to mention in this class. Allah knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.